The following is a recording of a school board candidate forum that was held on Tuesday, April 29th, including candidates for the open positions on the Belgrade School District 44 board. The event was held at the Belgrade Community Library and was sponsored by the Bozeman Area League of Women Voters, Association of University Women, and the Belgrade Community Library. The first part of the forum features candidates for the three-year positions.
All right, welcome, and thank you everyone for coming. My name is Jane Arnson Schumacher, and I'm the moderator for tonight's event. I'm moderating for the sponsors. Our sponsors are the Bozeman League of Women Voters, the Association of University Women, and the Bozeman Public Library are the sponsors for tonight's event. I would like to take a minute. I have a couple things I'm going to do before we actually start with the candidates. So the first one is I'm going to have Linda talk about vote 411.
Thank you, Jane. This slide has been already shared on. As you all know, the League of Women Voters is nonpartisan. We do not support candidates, any particular candidates. And one of our major projects, however, is vote411.org/Montana. And on there you can find responses from the candidates regarding their positions on issues. All the candidates are invited to put their information up on 411.org. And so, you know, it kind of says something if they don't respond, but we do try to get everybody. We invite everybody to do that. And Pat has a 411 there. And we have these cards with the QR codes that have a lot of voter information on it. One of our biggest efforts is to get you out and vote, try to make it as easy for you as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. All right, tonight we'll be having two back-to-back forums. So the first forum we're going to use is for the trustee, the school district number, Belgrade School District number 44, school board trustees that have a three-year term. So unfortunately, two of our candidates did cancel for tonight, but two of the other candidates are here, and it's a great time to get to know the two that we do have here. And we'll, like I say, we'll start with the three-year term, and then we'll take a quick break just to move up the one-year term candidates to the front of the room, and we'll start on the one-year candidate forum. And we'll do that separately. It just gets to be a lot of bodies up front and a little more confusing. Before we continue, I want to go over the format and rules for our forums. Each candidate will have 2 minutes to introduce themselves, explain their qualifications, and then why they would like you to vote for them, why they're running for office. Each candidate will have 2 minutes to answer one question that has been provided to them in advance. And that's just to get the questions going. I will then open the floor to questions from the audience. Please stand when you ask your questions, because it really does help the people behind you hear your question if you stand and kind of address the room. Questions may be directed at either one or more candidates. However, if they choose, each candidate can respond to that question, whether it was directed at them or not. Answers by candidates will be limited to 1 minute, and we do sometimes cheat on that one a little. I mean, sometimes you ask a question that cannot be answered in 1 minute. And we want them to have the opportunity to be complete, but we want to keep moving along. We don't want to have too long of answers. And then after we have gone through the questions from the audience, each candidate will have 2 minutes for a closing statement. We do have a timer tonight. Linda Gable, our little star before, our 411 star, will also be our timer for tonight. Thanks, Linda.
Do you stand behind us and smack us with them? Or okay.
She throws them. She's really good at throwing them.
That's actually my job. I'm close enough to do the smacking. But like I say, we will be somewhat flexible in your answers from the audience. Okay. The moderator, me, will intervene if any questions or answers are repetitive or courtesy is not shown. The timer will inform each candidate when they have 1 minute remaining, 30 seconds remaining, and no time remaining. We do ask the candidates to finish promptly when their time is up. The moderator will ask members of the audience to pose questions without comments or editorializing. One thing that is important to remember is we do these forums as an opportunity for you to hear from the candidates on where they stand at issues. We strongly invite you to let them know where you stand, but that is not at this venue. This forum is for you to hear from them and maybe even help you formulate your questions and concerns that you want to follow up with later. And I do want to mention, I'm just going to note here, that I think it takes courage to run for office. And I think the school board is one of the most thankless offices you can run for. You have administration, you have your fellow school board members, you have teachers, and you have the students all mad at you at least some of the time. And so they deserve our courtesy and respect and their willingness to serve our community. So I'm going to ask that from you. If a candidate is mentioned by name or referred to specifically by their opponent when they answer their questions, then that opponent will actually have equal time to respond. If questions from the audience can be answered with a yes or a no, the candidates will still be allowed to explain and qualify their answers. You know, the purpose of the forum is not to put them on the spot and make them make a yes or no answer and not be able to qualify. The purpose of the forum, again, is, we just don't want them to have to select answers they're not comfortable with. Again, the moderator will intervene if questions or answers are repetitive or if courtesy is not shown. So again, we have two of the four candidates for the three-year term. And they are Walt Durze and Joanne Nordhagen. That's a good Scandinavian. I'm Scandinavian. Yes. It's a good I recognize my fellow Scandinavians.
It means Northland.
Okay. Yep. We have three candidates that are running for the one-year unexpired term. And they're often our candidates for the next three-year terms. And they are Samantha Baker, Lila J. Beard, and Kelly Kerner.
Morrison.
Because Kerner is correct, right?
You got it.
All right, thank you. And we will have them up a little bit later. So we're going to start with the forum. And each candidate will have 2 minutes to do their introduction. And we'll start with Walt.
Hello, everybody. Can you hear me back there? Great acoustics. I love this new library. Name's Walt Durze. I've been in the Belgrade area since 2008. So what's that now? 18 years? Moved over here from the Deer Lodge area, where I grew up. My family got roots that trace back on both sides of my family to before the state had statehood. My mom's family were ranchers in the Deer Lodge area. My dad's family came over and were in the Anaconda area smeltermen. And then my grandmother wound up in nursing at Warm Springs. Moved over here, was working at the prison, and my oldest boys that are now out of high school. We're over in the Bozeman area, moved over here March 2008 because I didn't subscribe to the Wall Street Journal. It was a land of opportunity, but I'll tell you, for some odd reason, I found a lot more rentals available and jobs were getting a little scarce. Started driving school bus, drove school bus for years for First Student, worked for Streamline. I was in the office, started behind the wheel, but wound up in the office. Moved into the office at Car Stage. I worked there doing a lot of logistics. After that, went over to a local trash company, and I've been doing that for 7.5 years now. Logistics are my background. Anyhow, my wife works for the school. As a special needs para and a bus attendant. I have kids. Every one of my kids have gone to school except for my four-year-old, who probably will go to school this year, I think. So I'm just heavily invested. I appreciate you guys being here tonight, and I hope to be able to answer any of your questions. Thank you.
All
Joanne, go ahead.
Oh, we got a second mic.
Hi there. So I'm Joanne Nordhagen. I have been in the Belgrade area for 7 years, and I have been in the Gallatin Valley for going on 13, but I am a born and raised Montanan. I'm from Butte. And as you probably know, you know, Butte is Butte America. We are Montana proud and very Butte proud. I am a graduate of Montana Tech University. I'm also a graduate of Northwestern University. My background is in statistics, mathematics, and data science. So I value very evidence and data-backed decisions. I am a professor at Montana State University. I teach business analytics, data science, and business analytics statistics, basically. I have two children in the Belgrade School District. One is in kindergarten and one is in first grade. And my husband owns a small business here in the Valley. He's also from Butte. My parents don't go back that far, but my mom was raised in the Twin Bridges Orphanage, which I always think was kind of cool. Her story is actually why I do this. My mother has been passed away for several years now, but my mom was like, when the Berkeley Pit needed somebody to fight for the people of Butte to clean it up, that was my mom. She was on the board, and she, you know, she was in the community. And that's my goal, right? I want to be part of the community in more than just living here, but being a representative to be the voice for the community. I've been serving on the current school board. I'm a current member for less than a year. I was appointed when somebody did leave. And so what I've done in that time is getting to know as many community members as I can, but also getting to know our educators and our leaders at the schools. And so that is what I hope to continue to do as I, if I were to be elected, is to continue that time to make sure I can bring forth community voices so that we have our student voices, our community voices, our teacher voices, and our parent voices as part of what we make decisions on. My decisions are not backed on my personal beliefs, but rather what is best for our children, our educators, and our community.
Minute to answer this question. What do you, and it's, I don't think it's a 1 minute question, but we'll see.
Two minutes.
What do you see as the biggest issues that should be addressed by the school board within the next several years? And we're going to start with Joanne this time.
Okay.
We'll take turns starting.
Fair enough.
Wait till this turns on. Okay. I have some notes. So the biggest challenge that I believe is facing our district is our rapid growth and how we manage that rapid growth while maintaining high quality education. Because one of the benefits and the negatives to that rapid growth is that we, as we get more people in our community, we have more stress on our resources, and our resources are our classrooms and our teachers and those classroom sizes and how they affect not only the teachers, but the students and the administrators. But how does that affect our entire community, right? We have seen in the past several years our taxes rise significantly. And so one of the things a lot of people, and I think we need to do a better job, is understanding where do those tax dollars come from? So in the state of Montana, 80% of our tax dollars come, it does not matter how high your taxes are, they come from the state, they're allocated to us, 80% of our budget. That other 20% we get from you all in the form of levies, right? But we really need to, one, make sure people are aware of how that budgetary money comes to our schools, and two, how we're using them and how we can be transparent about where this money comes from and where it's going and why we're making those decisions. We've seen bonds and levies fail, and it does make it hard to meet the needs of our community and our schools. So address this, we need to have continued community engagement, transparent communication about why investments in our schools matter, but not just for students, but the future of Belgrade as a whole community. We also need to explore creative, cost-saving, and cost-effective ways to use the resources we already have. But we also need to look to plan for growth and plan responsibly. So, you know, I really am committed to looking at this problem and working with our community and how to not overburden you financially, but also ensure that our schools and our educators have the resources they need to continue teaching our students and keeping our classroom sizes reasonable.
On the nose again. On the nose again.
I can tell Joanne works, you know,
giving lectures because she nails the time every time.
That's because after a 50-minute class, students are gone.
To answer the question, I struggled to come up with the number one because, well, quite frankly, she's not wrong. Growth is a big challenge. I think teacher retention is a challenge. This place is, you know, education pays poorly in this area, in the state, and especially in this area. And to ask somebody, you know, with a master's degree to live here and afford to live here for $50,000 a year is, I'm sorry, but insulting. Bullying is a problem that I think that anybody that's got kids in our schools knows it's probably needs to be curbed. Taxpayer fatigue, you know, with the growth, that is a big challenge. But right now, I think that the biggest thing that we've got to navigate, and good, bad, or ugly, I don't know, is the current political administration at the federal level is changing the U.S. Department of Education, and I don't know what it's going to look like when it's done with, but they're reallocating a lot of things, and I think that we've got to negotiate what this is going to look like. I can't tell you how to do it yet, because I don't think we've seen, the dust hasn't settled to the point where we can say, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. But I think our goal as a school board needs to be to continue to provide a quality education through all this, and to make this transition as seamless as possible while providing, you know, a quality, good value for our taxpayers in terms of education. You can spend and spend and spend, but and get more education. But one of the things I always keep in mind is I'm also a homeowner and taxpayer. It's gotten expensive. So how'd I do, Joanne?
Good.
Nailed it. So how'd I do, Joanne?
Good.
Nailed the time?
Okay, we're ready for questions from the audience. Again, if you'll remember to stand when you give your questions and sort of look at the audience so they can hear your question. And hopefully I can hear it too. My hearing's not great. Who wants to go first? All right, go ahead.
So, Joanne, you had mentioned about transparency in regarding to the funding. And so there's levies on the ballot again.
Yep.
And what are those levies for? Are they existing? If you can please explain.
If you give me just a moment, I'll quote my notes specifically on that.
So the reason I'm putting up my notes is I'm going to stand up because it's easier for me to talk to people and see you. So the reason I'm pulling up my notes is because this. So this is what I'm referring to. So we get a budget. Let's say our budget is $100,000 for the entire school year. State law says they will only give us 80%. It does not matter how many people in the district. It does not matter the taxation, the taxable value, that taxes for people, homeowners have risen. That does not matter. The state says we will give you, you have told us your potential budget. We will give you 80% of it. It is up to you to make up that difference in the other 20%. So what we're doing with that is teacher raises. About 53% of that levied value, so that's general fund, right? So you have to realize there's general fund, and this is what I'm talking about. And then we have these other little things. We might remember we did the levy for the new school. It's 53% of that is going to the teacher raises that were just approved by the teachers union. And then the rest of it's operating budget for the district. It's the rest of that 20% we're required by law to levy from our community.
Do you wish to respond? I mean, it was directed, but you may.
I can't stand here and argue with her. I could, but it wouldn't do any good. She's smarter than me. But I will tell you, you know, she's not wrong that, you know, coming to teacher pays, you know, trying to get that up is something that's going to be a priority of mine. I will always make sure that everything, all of our spending is transparent, and that anybody can find out at any time when where their money is going. You know, I'll be trying to manage what is ultimately your money as taxpayers' money responsibly.
Okay, who's next? Candy, I see it on your face.
I'm not sure I'm next. I wrote something down, so I should look at it.
Does anybody want to go while she looks up her question?
I'll ask a question.
Okay, thank you.
So what are your plans for helping the community understand how those funds are distributed? Because right now, anyone can look up how we're spending that money. It's public record.
Yes.
But they don't.
Nope.
So...
So we have the second Monday of every month we have a school board meeting.
Can you repeat the question, please?
Oh, so Callie asked, like, how are we planning, or how do we currently ensure people see that data, like, about how the money is being spent and where it comes from? The school board currently, we have a meeting the second Monday of every month, and our financial officer who controls our entire budget posts it on the meeting minutes. So it's on the Belgrade, like, school board or school webpage. It is also, it's completely public records. You can get it at the state level. You can call our Belgrade main office and get it. It's really hard to get this out there unless people want it. We've actually sent out flyers. How many people got that flyer about the levy information? Mm-hmm. So we are trying so hard to get it out there. I don't know if we're going to need to come up with some additional ways to do it, but the data is out there. It's out there. It's available through our website.
Honestly, she's not wrong. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. The information's out there. It's on the Belgrade School District website. It's, if you want to see it, you know, maybe we need to look at how to get more people interested in it. I don't know the answer to that. If somebody has a question, if I'm a board member and wants to sit down and have a conversation, I'd probably point you first to the financial guy, the financial director at the school. But if for some reason you feel like you're spinning wheels with him, I would be willing to have a conversation with you. But I don't know what the answer is, because, like I said, the information's there. And if you have this thing right here, you can get it.
A lot of older people don't have cell phones.
If you don't have it?
Yeah. I mean, we don't live on it like this generation does.
I would be willing to help you to either meet with the financial officer or if I'm on the board, personally meet with you and try and help you to understand it. I want the community to know. If I'm spending your money, I want you to know where it's going.
The head of our finances, her name is Carrie Fisher, and she is always willing, if somebody calls the district office, to talk them through it. She actually has created some presentations that she can email or show you in person that has a lot of really great breakdowns about how the budgets work for our general fund, how the budgets work for things like when we do additional levies for building, for instance, that new school, even like the cost-benefit analysis that we did on that land swap that you all voted on, right? So if you do not have, you know, and a lot of people don't, my parents hated technology, cell phones, don't care about the internet, we can absolutely set up an appointment to meet you, a school board member, as well as Carrie, or even, you know, the superintendent, and walk you through it and answer any questions you have. And that goes for anybody in the community. You know, the district office is open to any member of the community anytime they want to be there and ask those questions. You don't need an appointment. You can just walk in and ask. That's what we're here for, is to ask those, answer those questions.
Okay, we do need to move forward, though. Kendra, are you ready, or is somebody else? Okay,
so you kind of touched on this in your opening statement. There's so many changes being proposed from the federal level down, and I know it's hard to answer, and it's seems to be hypothetical at this point, but I'm not sure exactly at any moment. But I'm just wondering if you could each tell us how you're thinking about these and how these things would affect us down here on the local level in Belgrade, and specifically the Department of Education changes and the mandates about diversity programs being removed and the immigration services possibly entering the schools. I guess there's been some directives from some school administrations about how to handle those things, and I'm wondering how you see Belgrade being affected by these things and how we might handle those things.
And we'll let Walt go first this time.
I apologize. I didn't write down that. Sounds like a multi-part question there. But to start with,
how do I see
these things, you know, without the dust? It's tough to answer because we don't know what it looks like. I believe most of it is going to be on the financial level, which is good and bad because it's the school board's problem, but it's also the school board's problem, not necessarily going to be in the classroom. A lot of it would be funding related and just, you know, how can we direct and negotiate? And I believe a lot of the programs are being assigned to different agencies, so they're not being completely eliminated, but their rules are going to change. And like I said, I don't know because we haven't seen it. As to how the diversity question, if we treat everybody equally in terms of attempting to meet their needs, I think that we're there at the diversity question. If a kid comes to school, our job is to teach the kid and provide a safe environment and teach the kid. Don't care who the kid is, what the deal is. And what was the last one?
It was about immigration coming into the school.
Immigration. As far as immigration coming into the school, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think the school has the authority to stop federal law enforcement that has a warrant. And to do so would be a violation of federal law.
I'm going to actually start with the immigration side. They are administrative warrants, and schools do not have to comply with them. And that is because they are an administrative warrant. They are not a criminal warrant. Administrative warrants are not issued by judges. And because of that, they would have to have they cannot grab a child. A parent would have to be present. And so as it currently stands, our policy is that no child is allowed to be taken from school premises without contact of a parent, without a parent present. That is regardless if a child is an immigrant or if the child is one of our children, and that is absolutely how it should be. Now, regarding the other pieces, I don't know. We know that the Department of Education never controlled curriculum, but they do control programs that allow for us to create better diversity, better equity. Because remember, equity does not mean we give somebody more opportunities. Equity means we are allowing them, if a child is struggling to read, we give them the tools. If a child has a sight issue, right, we give them extra tools. And that is my concern. 504 plans, IEPs, those were all coming down from the Department of Education. We need, as a community, to keep those in place to ensure that our children actually do get equitable education, do get equitable opportunities. Because if we don't, we will have a generation of children who don't really know what it's like to feel and that they're treated like they are part of a learning community, right? Every one of us knows that child who struggled to read because they didn't get that extra help.
Any other questions for our candidates?
With taxpayer fatigue, if you will, if that continues and less money is available from the state and or the federal government for doing whatever we do, what are your thoughts on how to direct this school district so that it can continue to provide a quality education for all our kids?
Yes,
I believe you are.
Your turn to be first.
Okay, it's so hard because we don't want to cut teachers' salaries. We don't want to cut teachers from the classroom because what happens when we cut teachers from the classroom is we mash more kids together and it makes them so much harder to teach and so much harder on our paras and our volunteers and the teachers themselves. I hope we never get there. But if we do come to that place, we're going to have to make some extraordinarily hard decisions. And this is when I'm going to count on the community to tell me, if we have these three things on the chopping block, we're going to have a community. What does this mean for all of us? What are we going to have to lose, right? Is it going to be beneficial to have to cut a teacher and push, you know, more students in a classroom and change that ratio? Are we going to have to get rid of a theater program or a sports program, right? Those are those hard questions, and I don't know. I would be devastated to get rid of anything, but unfortunately, those are what we're going to have to look at if it comes down to that. So I would be looking to the community. Honestly, it's not my decision because I shouldn't, you know, if I don't like sport, I do. But you know what I'm saying? My voice should be coming from you as a community, as what we have to cut, the hard decision.
Thank you. Walt.
If we are ever put into that situation, and I pray that we don't wind up in there, but unfortunately, you're probably right that we might wind up there. The first place I would be looking would be outside of the classrooms for places to cut. And I hate to say, you know, go for the middle management, but because that's the, you know, low hanging fruit and it sounds really good on a memo until you actually have to put it in practice. I would try and figure out how to make our administration as lean and as efficient as possible to push as many dollars as I could into the classrooms. Then I would have to look at ways to, you know, it would have to be, as she says, we'd have to hear from the community as to what to do. It would be, you know, I don't know. I don't want to cut a theater program. I'm not a theater guy. I got a real soft spot for FFA because I was there. I was not an athlete. You mentioned a bad heart, and all of a sudden, for some reason, you don't play athletics. You make a great water boy. I don't want to be in the situation where I would cut. But if I had to look where to cut, dollars need to be as close to the kids as possible.
Okay. One more question. Thank you.
So this is also financial. This is a question that I've just kind of thrown. I've been here 4 years now. And I've watched my taxes go up nearly 100% in that time. So I guess something that just has confused me and confused a lot of people I talk to is a lot of the levies and extra things that are coming out are due to the expanse of the growth. And that's what doesn't make sense to me. It seems like as the community grows, so does the pool from which we get to draw our budget. Why is it that the pool is growing, but the budget is not? You know, why do we have to, you know, charge, you know, raise levies and things when the budget is when the pool of from where we can draw our funds grows? I'm sorry.
Okay.
You know, honestly, that is a great question, and it's one I've asked multiple times, because if all of a sudden my tax dollars, my house went from $200,000 to $500,000, my taxable value, say, went from $2,000 to $5,000 a year. You know, these are hypothetical numbers I'm just using to bring up. Where did the extra $3,000 go? And I tell you, everybody I ask points somewhere else. The state says it's local. Local says it's state. You know, county says it's schools. Schools say it's county. I just know that I'm $3,000 poorer now than I was a few years ago. One of the things that I have every intention of being, one of the things that drove me on to wanting to be on the school board, was to be very wise and efficient with tax dollars to make sure they're spent properly, because you're right. Economies of scale, for some reason, just are not kicking in like you would think. You know, and I don't have the answers to that yet, but I have every intention to nosedive in and be as frugal. I don't like the word frugal. Frugal sounds cheap. Be as wise with your money as possible. And I do want to have an answer to, hey, this is why, you know, last year we had, you know, or, you know, here, like you went up, you know, in my 8 years, I've gone up literally 150%, where you've gone up 100% in four. So I'm very sympathetic with that.
Okay, I'm looking at my notes.
Could you repeat the question again, please?
Yeah, so he asked, like, we have had massive valuations in, you know, across the state. Why isn't that money going to fund our educational community and programs? And the reason is because by state law, 80% must come from the state. So all of the taxes that are collected go to the state, all of them. And then they allocate them back to us. And so if we as a school district, we say with teacher salaries, it's our general operating fund that covers things like, I took my notes. So they're the general fund that does things like our teachers' salaries, right? That's a big one. And we have other funds that are like transportation, bus depreciation, twin and debt services. That's not the general fund. So for instance, this levy we're voting on is a general fund. So I'm going to talk about that. And so if I say our entire budget's $100,000, the state has only given us 80, no matter what. It doesn't matter that you have had your taxes raised significantly. This is a state law, and they say, okay, you've told us your budget's $100,000, we'll give you 80. To make up that difference, every school district in the state does this, you have to ask the community to approve it. It's supposedly so you guys have extra say in our budget, but unfortunately that budget goes to things like teacher salaries, like teacher retirement. This is the general fund. That's what it comes from. And so, yes, your taxes have gone up. I don't know what the state does with the rest of that money.
All right, we're going to move on. So each candidate will have an opportunity to do a 2-minute closing statement. And who went first?
Opened first, yes, so it should be Joanne. Ahead. Unless you want to have the final word.
No, I don't need to. You know, money is the big question, and that's always going to be. And it's, I think, for generations behind us and for generations moving forward, we all want to know that our money is being utilized in a manner with which we feel comfortable with, that it's going to the right things. And unfortunately, in the last several years, Montana's, valuation, their hype factor, that's what my research is about, has gone up, right? So people want to be here, and that has caused our home prices to skyrocket and caused our valuations to skyrocket and caused our taxes to skyrocket. The big question is going to be as a community, I don't know how we request the state change that. I don't know if we can. It's been this way for a very long time. But I do think this kind of shows why we need to talk a lot about, well, where is that money going? Like, for instance, we just approved that new, the teacher raises. We agreed with the union. They signed off on it. And so 53% levy is going to go to faculty raises. Teacher raises. So I understand, you know, where you're coming from. I hope to continue these conversations as part of the school board, come to meet and ask them, say, I'm really frustrated. Can you explain this to me again? Or, hey, let's set up a time with Carrie and I can explain it. I want to let you know, I'm going to move away from the budget for a while, that I am an open book. I've talked to educators in our community about our new curriculum. We've moved to a new curriculum. How's it working? Right? Because people are saying, oh, I'm frustrated at first, but that's also, right, it's new. And anytime you're doing something new, it's different. But I also want to hear feedback about how they're seeing our students, right, our students who don't need help, our students who need a little help, and our students who struggle. How does this curriculum impact them? I want parents to come to me if they have a question about how their child is being treated in school or about, a new program for sports that they would love to see, you know, put into availability for our students, AP classes. I push heavily for more analytics-based classes because I'm going to tell you that's the way of the future.
All right. I want to thank our two candidates, Walt Durzi.
Can I speak?
Oh, did I not let you? I thank him, but I'm not going to let him talk.
It's like my mother-in-law's here or something.
I'm not going to let him say anything.
It's probably better that I don't speak, but I appreciate everybody being here. And I want to say thank you, first of all. I'm going to tell you right now, my goal, if I'm elected onto this school board, is to be your voice. As taxpayers, as voters, as parents, as grandparents. And I want to be the voice of the children, too, the kids. The students are ultimately what we're here for. You know, I want to work for you. I don't, I've got my personal biases and we may or may not agree, that's fine. I want to work for you. I want to make these schools work for you. I want to make Belgrade schools the schools of choice in this valley. And I'm not saying they're not now, but I think we can improve. And I think that Belgrade schools need to be the best option, because we have options now, the best option for families, for students to be in. They need to be safe. They need to be productive. They need to be engaging. We need to provide the best quality education to produce the best lifelong outcomes, whether somebody goes into higher education. I'll point Joanne out. She went to higher education. She's got more degrees than I know, my thermometer. Me, I got my CDL. And I'm here to tell you right now, it's been very good to me in this area. But I don't care. My goal is to make it so that every student comes through here and thrives, because that is the purpose of these schools, is to be student-focused. I intend to do so with an eye on your money. I intend to do so with an eye on making this as safe and as engaging of a school as possible. And if you ever have any questions, please don't be bashful. Reach out. Don't send me an email. Send me a text, however you want to get a hold of me, and I will make time for you, I promise. Thank you.
Now we want to thank our two candidates who came today. Thank you. I appreciate their time. We are just going to take just very few minutes to set up for the next candidates. When you ask your questions, you're welcome to ask the same questions, new questions, because these are candidates that are also school board trustee candidates, just for a different term. Anyway, thanks again.
Thank you.
And we'll be starting in just a couple minutes.
That was the first part of the forum for candidates for a 3-year position on the Belgrade School District 44 board. It was recorded at the Belgrade Community Library on Tuesday, April 29th, 2025. We will feature the second part of the forum after this.